Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mr. Smiley Joe is across from me. He has the world in his hands. He's a super guy, fabulous family, wonderful retirement underway. Gets to come in here and argue with me about his solid conservative views. He's a natural born listener, though. He does have narcolepsy, but other than that,
I nod off from time to time.
Joe McGranahan is here. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning. You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today.
And it's September.
Strikingly handsome.
Thank you. Rob Center is our fabulous producer, so we appreciate all of his help and hard work. He didn't hear it, but today we got called out by the wise women registered dietitians for being a good avid walker up here. He goes out in good fresh air, exercise, 10,000 step walks while he's gets a good break here at work. So the registered dietitians are familiar with that.
Where does he go?
I've seen him going out in the driveway and probably out County Line Road a short distance. There's some areas there where you can walk safely. So I would assume down
to... It was easier when the road construction closed County Line Road.
Oh, yes, of course.
There was no traffic, but yeah, I'll head up that way. All the way down toward 11 and 15.
And they tarred and chipped. Does that impair you in any way?
Just the smell.
Oh, okay. I think it ruins a road, but yeah.
Ruins the bottom of your car.
Right. It's a bad situation. It's a money saver for the township, though. But it also, they say the unintended advantage is it makes people slow down because they know that they could slip.
Well, it does do that.
So, yeah, tar and chip, so.
Better than being tarred and feathered.
One of our listeners sends us a note. It kills motorcyclists.
I bet it does.
Oh, yeah, your gravel's bad for motorcycling.
Okay. And so is blowing grass out into the street. I see so many people who do that. They point their discharge toward the street. Then they don't have all that grass on their property, but it goes on the street where it's a real danger to motorcyclists.
Well, in Northumberland, that's a fineable offense.
It's a fineable offense most places, but somebody has to actually see you doing it.
Oh, I see. So just being the property owner with grass clippings in the street's not sufficient?
It's not prima facie evidence that you did it.
Okay, but it's your property. It's your property with the hazard on it.
Show me that that's my grass. Give me something that identifies that grass as
somebody
mine.
Somebody came up from up the street and put their grass there.
Put my mark on it, and I'll assume responsibility.
They'll do a DNA test based on the grass that's in the street versus that's on the lawn, see if they match up.
That's right.
All right. Well, clearly we've taken this metaphor farther than necessary, but bottom line is Rob is fabulous. That's how we got onto this tangent, and that just is indisputable. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome to join the long list of individuals who have been first-time callers throughout the program. In fact, everybody who's ever phoned the show has been a first-time caller, and so we appreciate those. We'll be looking for some more of those today. Today you can, and always, you can email us at on the mark at WKOK.com. That's the email address. If you send us an anonymous email, just don't put your name in the body of the email. Obviously, we can see who it is from, but we wouldn't read that on the radio. We just read whatever you put in front of us, so to speak. You know, we're like what on the Anchorman TV show. Whatever you put in front of him, he'll read. You can text us at 70236 for Text Connect members. Just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you would like, you can contact us in that manner via text and sign up for Text to Connect. Well, yesterday at this time, we suggested, whether you or I suggested, that Walmart stop selling ammunition. It must have been you.
It wasn't specifically Walmart. It was one of our callers who suggested let them have all the guns they want, but regulate the ammunition.
Well, and we also suggested Walmart stop selling ammunition. And lo and behold, they heard that program in Bentonville, Arkansas, and they have decided they'll stop selling handgun and short rifle barrel ammunition. Handgun ammunition, of course, would be 9mm, 45, 380, that kind of thing. And then short barrel ammunition, now this is where it gets a little trickier, I think. 223 and 5.56, I think, is the metric caliber that is used in some of the sort of military-style rifles that you can buy these days, the semi-automatic rifles. But both of those are also, especially 223, is a hunting round, and so that can be used in long rifles, super fast round, I understand. The only thing I know about 223 is that it's crazily loud from having a friend who used it. But in any event, those two types of caliber the handgun ammunition and short barrel rifle ammunition would no longer be sold by Walmart. Now, they are not so interested in losing any money. They're going to keep distributing it widely and freely to anybody who can qualify until stores run out. Then they'll stop selling it altogether, which I think...
Well, what would you want them to do with it? Give it away free to anybody who comes through the door?
I just think it's funny that they've decided that it would be better if they didn't sell it, but it's mostly important that they make a profit and sell off that which they have. Well, I don't know if you're asking my opinion. First of all, why anyone shopping at Walmart at all whatsoever is the first question they have to ask themselves.
Oh, brother.
They're not paying the real price for anything they're buying. And then secondly, the question is, ammunition isn't the issue here. If you want universal background checks, we can have that conversation. If you want red flag laws, that's okay. But readily available stores of ammunition that are available, I mean, an individual who's intent on harm will simply go to another store, one of the many, many stores.
They'll have to pay a little bit more for their ammunition.
Well, not necessarily.
You don't believe Walmart has low prices every day?
I'm sure they do.
Sign says they do.
But there are other places to buy. If your only goal is to save money, there's online retailers of ammunition. I know Cabela's sells ammunition online. And all of the local gun shops here are competitively priced. I would rather you go to a Gator Gun, Geyser, Young's, or Little Sportsman's shop and save money anytime before you would go to a Walmart.
Well, so then Walmart can't win with you. I mean, they stop selling ammunition, so that's a bad thing because they are still going to make money until all the current supplies are gone.
Well, Walmart's a bad store, so let's move on from that topic. Let's get back to the ammunition. They're not going to sell ammunition.
So I don't believe that. Walmart employs a lot of people.
Right. It's subpar wages that cause many of them to go on welfare benefits that are available. But, hey, that's another topic. Let's stay on the ammunition. We will have our Walmart argument again another day.
You have me dazzled over here. I can't figure out how to respond to you. You're just like a June bug jumping all over everything with preposterous positions.
Do you think handgun ammunition should be sold at Walmart?
I don't know. I mean, it's legal to sell it. If Walmart chooses to sell it or not sell it, I mean, it's like if they decided a few years ago there was a toothbrush abrasion lawsuit, which everybody thought was pretty stupid because people were encouraged to brush their teeth too much and their teeth were deteriorating, so they filed a class action lawsuit. Suppose Walmart said, well, I've seen this lawsuit and we don't want to take part in this. We're not going to sell toothbrushes anymore. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean toothbrushes won't be readily available 3 million other places. And so the fact that Walmart would stop selling them is irrelevant, really, in the overall scheme of things. My question isn't that they're selling ammunition. It's that what is that ammunition going into? If it's going into multiple round clips, magazines, not clips. I don't want to offend our listener from yesterday. You know, if it's going into guns that can shoot 500 rounds in a minute, you know, then I've got a problem with it.
That would be a little high.
I just think that, you know, I can understand people wanting to have those high-powered guns the same way some people want to have a high-powered car. I collect coins, I'm willing to pay a fairly substantial price for a penny that I want or something like that. So we all have hobbies.
Collectability.
Right, and collectability and enjoyment. I mean, I get enjoyment looking at old coins. You might get enjoyment looking at the new gun you bought, you know, and the nice magazine you have with 1,000 bullets in it that you can go out and blow half the world away in 2 seconds. That might be your choice. But I'm more concerned about your mental state. I'm more concerned about what Mark Lawrence is going to do with that gun than I am with the fact Mark Lawrence has that gun.
Well, and with some of the individuals who, this is a wonderful discussion to have, and I think we're really headed to where we need to be on the firearms discussion. The fact that the readily available ammunition may not be, in fact, the dilemma. As Stan has often suggested, the gun sits in the corner and doesn't do anything.
But nobody.
Until somebody does something bad with it.
Nobody needs, other than maybe law enforcement, needs hollow point bullets. Nobody needs armor-piercing bullets.
Well, I believe they're already restricted.
Well, that's one, then good.
Well, hollow point
restricted
bullets.
Or not available. But, you know, those bullets that will pierce a policeman's...
Well, fully jacketed bullets, I believe, are not readily available.
All right. Well, the bullets that can pierce a policeman's body armor.
Oh, the, yeah.
There is no legitimate reason for those. Absolutely no legitimate reason for them as far as
I don't believe they're readily available already. They may be restricted. But in any event, that's not the kind of ammunition that individuals that do mass shooting are using. And that's not the kind of... That's really not part of our conversation.
You think it's so odd to suggest that someone may eventually do that?
I guess
figure
we're sure.
I could stop the cops from getting me because I'll use these bullets that can get the cops.
I think if you speculate that somebody may have a mental break someday and do something dangerous, something otherwise inherently not dangerous... You could say that about anything and everything. You know, any knife you buy, any baseball bat you purchase for sports, and any individual could potentially go wrong at some day, but I don't know that you should restrict sales. All the way back around to, we should really start to talk about what we need to do. In the U.S. right now, because of mass shootings, we're having a conversation about what we can do to make people safer. Universal background checks may help. You had an example of where one of the mass shooters would have failed a background check.
Well, he did fail it. The Texas gunman had been ruled mentally unfit.
The most recent one.
Right. To buy firearms, he used a loophole on background checks. It said the gunman who killed 7 and injured at least 22 others in a West Texas shooting rampage.
Well, it's not a loophole. It's just the way the law is. It's
Labor Day
not,
weekend,
not really
before he was shot and killed by police, was federally banned from owning or buying firearms after a court previously ruled he was mentally unfit to do so. The suspected mass shooter appeared to have taken advantage of a loophole in a federal gun law by purchasing the AR-type assault rifle used in the rampage at a private person-to-person gun sale, effectively bypassing a background check. Under Texas state law, background checks are not required in private sales.
All right. Well, if we had universal background checks, that probably would have caught that. That would have sent this mass killer into something that he wasn't previously, and that's a criminal. But then again, mass killing is criminal, so he probably would have purchased his gun in a criminal fashion.
As our friend Stan often points out, criminals don't obey the laws.
I think I might have just
said that. Hence the name criminal, right?
In another way. All right. Well, we would invite you to join us in this conversation. 1-800-795-9565. We're reacting to Walmart's worthless decision to ban ammunition sales in their stores. We're talking about one of the mass shooters. Didn't use a loophole. He just took advantage of the fact that the law only covers commercial sales.
Well, that is a loophole. They could have closed that. It's a definitely a loophole.
It's
you may not choose
a
to
loophole.
Characterize
it's
it.
The way it's called freedom in America.
No.
People can sell guns to each other. It's only a loophole.
Hey, can I buy your gun? Hey, want to sell me your gun?
It's like saying it's a loophole that you can take a shortcut off the main highway sometime. It's not a loophole. It's just available
roads. You folks
roads
in Northumberland are upset that truck drivers are exploring loopholes in your detours.
Well, I didn't impose a truck ban. PennDOT did, so only for certain roads. So if they found a loophole, good for them. They get too big for some of the... Some of these, the cabs on the trucks in Norrie are 30 feet long. Then, of course, the trailer is 80 feet long, so that's a pickle. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Greg, thank you for calling in on this very topic. Not the Norrie one, but the gun one. You're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I realize it's a talk show, but Joe, especially listening to you this morning, please stop expressing opinions about rates of fire and the capacity of magazines and stuff when you absolutely have no idea what you're talking about. You're going to put 100 rounds into a gun that shoots 5,000 rounds a minute. It's not even capable. There isn't a gun that exists in civilian hands that could do such a thing. And the types of bullets available, what is and isn't, who should and shouldn't have, you have no clue. If you don't handle guns on an everyday basis and know what the individual idea of each type of bullet is for and stuff, saying the hollow point shouldn't be available to anybody but police, you're completely wrong and off the mark. And it's getting a little tiring hearing you guys spout opinions when you have no basis in fact for what you're putting out there. for example, Joe, the fact about hollow point bullets. Hollow point bullets are the best type of defensive weapon for in people's homes and stuff because, number one, when they hit walls, they don't necessarily penetrate the wall and go through and maybe hit somebody innocent on the other side if someone's trying to defend their home. You know, things like that. You're just putting information out there in the air that's doing nothing but giving people misinformation. And I really wish, if it's coming to guns and ammunition and things like that, that you would research more what you're saying rather than just spouting out there. Joe, maybe you shouldn't have more than 100 coins in your collection because, you know, you drop it on your foot and you might break it.
I have dropped coins on my foot, and it's been very painful.
Well, but my point is please be more accurate and don't just throw out there and say, well, you shouldn't have, okay. You know, because of it. Just it was just like, you know, people getting on here earlier that we had the long conversation a while back about calling the president a buffoon. Would you like it if I took and called, you know, you a buffoon for what you're saying? Because that's what it sounds like, and I won't use that phrase to you.
Well, it's an opinion show, and that's your opinion.
Well,
I
was doing. Please be informed.
Well, let me defend myself for just a second. I was using hyperbole to make a point. I wasn't stating that I was absolutely accurate in what I was asserting. I was trying to make the point.
Well, it sounded like that's your outright fact opinion, and it just
I cheerfully admit
bothersome to a lot of people in this valley about that are gun owners and sportsmen and do have legitimate uses for things that you're spouting in hyperbole.
What legitimate use is there for an armor or a bullet that will pierce a policeman's body armor? What's the legitimate purpose behind that I don't understand?
Are not available to the public anymore. Years ago, I sold ammunition and guns in my younger years on it. And the Teflon-coated bullets that you were talking about and that stuff was pulled from the market because of that fact. Armor-piercing ammo is a steel-tipped round for the military that was used through the different military actions. And even today, the ones that you get in using an AR-15 or other semi-automatic rifles, not assault weapon-style rifles, which is an actual military gun that's not normally available to the public, semi-automatic rifles that fire the same caliber. They're metal, but they're not armor-piercing. They're simply a copper or brass type of bullet that is designed for not expansion, because that is the type of weapon that uses them with the military for war. They don't use hollow-point bullets in war because of the wounding effect.
Copper-coated bullets are available, though, right? Correct?
Yeah, copper-coated are, but generally you're not going to go and buy new in-the-store steel-tipped armor-piercing ammo. I mean, there's old military surplus out there from all the wars ago, and it was proliferated from World War One up through. And you can get some of that probably in the gun shows and stuff, but it's not something that the average person goes and buys. It's just like, you know, again, it's stuff that you're talking about, new, relevant, on the market versus some old military surplus that's gradually fallen out of favor because after ammo is so old, it's not even safe to use after, you know, the old corrosive primers and stuff like that.
But okay, what about high-capacity magazines?
There's no reason. The high-capacity magazine has to do with being used with the type of weapon. And, again, the weapon isn't what kills the people. It's the people that kills the people.
I agree with you on that completely. But still, the mechanism to kill them.
They use them in competition shooting, where they're going out and doing the different style simulated combat shoots and police competition shoots. I mean, they're all there for a purpose. It's just like you collect coins because you enjoy it. People use them for the type of shooting that they do because they enjoy it.
All right, we have to take a break.
Or not, or hyperbole, whatever you want to call
hyperbole.
It. For the fact of, you know, that you're making what sounds like a stated opinion when you're not basing it on fact.
Okay, I consider myself properly chastised, and
I will attempt to be a little more careful. Thank you very much.
I'm just trying to keep it balanced.
Hey, that's what we're. That's your job. You know. Keep us straight.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Greg. We're super called. Thank you very much. Mike, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Mike has been waiting probably all of 8 minutes or so to get on the radio, and that opportunity has arisen. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm 64, heading on 65, and in my childhood and youth, the only real mass murder that I can remember, and I'm sure there were more, there was somebody down in Texas up on a college campus shooting down from a perch, killing people. And that's the one that sticks out in my mind. But throughout my lifetime, these incidents have seemed to increase, and now they seem to be increasing exponentially. That's just from my observation. I don't know if the facts support that or not, but when looking at any problem, the first thing that I want to know is what has changed. You know, if I'm observing an automobile engine or a nuclear power plant or a jet engine and something's not looking the way it should be, my first reaction is what changed, unless we have to shut it down completely. But my point is this. We're hearing all of this knee-jerk reaction about banning guns, banning clips, all these different types of things, when, in my mind, we should be asking ourselves, what has changed to cause these events to be more predominant? And I don't hear that. I don't hear our politicians talking about that. I don't hear our think tanks talking about that. I don't hear CNN talking about that. So to me, we're ignoring the problem, or what the cause of the problem is, when we're trying to come up with solutions.
What is the cause, in your opinion? You obviously have thought about it.
Well, in my mind, there's multiple causes. One, we're living in a society where there's 24-hour news. So as soon as one of these events occur, it's, you know, 24/7 on every news outlet, on every radio station, in every newspaper for days. And that puts it in the forefront of people's minds. And when you take a large population like we have in the United States, and there's a certain percent of these people that are mentally unstable or angry or whatever, it appeals to them possibly and maybe moves them to action. Video games. People say there's no correlation between violence and behavior based on video game usage. But to me, if you're indulged in something completely, like many kids are, I think in a certain population of those people, there's going to be an effect. So what is the answer? I don't know. But I can tell you this. In the recent history, we've had problems with sexual assaults, and we have taken action in our educational systems, our colleges, our high schools, and we've had mandatory training for people, okay? But we're having this big problem with guns. Have we seen our educational system really grab hold of this issue and say, hey, we need to know what the solution is? You know, maybe it's thou shall not kill, but we're not going to teach that in our schools.
Isn't it possible that we don't value human life the way we used to, that people have become desensitized by watching all the murders that take place on television and movies? I mean, the body counts in some of these action pictures and movies are just horrendous, you know, and you look at a game like Fortnite, which involves nothing but killing people. Now, admittedly, they don't die in a field of blood, they just evaporate, but still, it's destroying other people to achieve some goal.
You make an excellent point. I mean, it's not only video games and movies anymore. If you look at the main networks, there's shows in prime time that, like you said, there's lots of killing, but it's not necessarily blood and guts. But nevertheless, it's an elimination of a human life in pursuit of a goal, and it's, in some cases, almost laughed about when it occurs. And you're right, and you can go back to the abortion where the life is unwanted, so it's okay, and we have one party that's vehemently fighting for that thing to happen in any condition at any time, anywhere. So people are, what you're saying is people are getting mixed messages about life. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty close, yep.
Yeah, so what the answer is, I don't know. I'm hoping that this is one of those things that'll go in a cycle. You know, that we're going to see this, and then it's going to be something that goes away. You know, how these things happen in cycles, you know, trends, I guess. But to me, if you take away the guns, let's just say we took away all the guns. If you want to commit mass murder, you're going to commit mass murder. There's going to be other ways to do it. So the problem is going to exist.
No matter what.
Even if we,
all right.
No matter what. So to me, it's a cultural thing, and we need to start as a society. We need to take a hard look at ourselves and move forward. But I don't see us coming together to do that.
All right. Good. Thank you so much,
Thanks
Mike.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Appreciate the call.
Appreciate
Eric, stand by through the break or call back immediately. We'll take your call at 9:06 after the CBS call. So you can stand by or you can call back. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. This is On the Mark, WDKOK live telephone talk show. We do have CBS News and then...
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We got open phones, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about Walmart's sound decision to no longer sell ammunition, which will have absolutely no impact on anything that's happening in the U.S. that's good or bad, other than probably carve out about 10% of the small ammunition sales and put it back where it belongs in local retailers and or online stores. But will it do anything to make us safer? We think that's a good question worth asking. We have some news headlines, but we are going to make good on one promise for a change, and that's to put Eric on the radio right away. He was waiting prior to the break. So good morning, Eric. Thank you so much for calling in. We are talking about firearms once again on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, up front, I am a firearm owner. I have hunting rifles. I have handguns. I do not have assault-style weapons.
You do not have what?
What I see.
Eric, what? You
do not have assault-style weapons.
My assault-style.
Oh, military-style guns.
I am a gun owner.
Okay.
Okay, so... what I see as my biggest concern is with the background checks and the head of the Senate refusing to even put forth the bill for a vote because he knows, quote unquote, he knows the president won't sign it. Is that not taking out, essentially on this issue, one half of one third of our whole system of government? That's
yes.
My first point. My second point is background checks. Why not? Well, we don't know if they work. Well, we don't know because how many mass shootings have been prevented simply by the fact that the shooters or potential shooters never got the guns because the background checks worked. What I will use as a similar situation would be a traffic stop for DUI. As a person who does not drink and drive, I have no concern about a traffic stop for DUI because I've done nothing wrong. Okay, but it is there in place to do what? To protect the public from those who are violating the law or potentially could be violating the law. Background checks are the same thing. As a gun owner and a gun purchaser, I have no problems going through the process of the background check. Because why? Because I have nothing to hide. I am, I think, a responsible gun owner, and I have no problem with that. So why in the world would we not have more extensive background checks and close the loopholes which we have in place?
Well, I think law-abiding citizens say you should be able to buy a rifle from your neighbor if you so choose, or your father should be able to hand a gun down to you without putting you through a background check. I think people say law-abiding citizens like yourself shouldn't be subjected to extra scrutiny so that you could try to screen out criminals who are going to bypass legal checks anyway because they are, in fact, criminals. So that's why people don't like them. I understand what you're saying. It makes perfect sense, and a lot of people say, like you do, they don't mind DUI checkpoints because they're not drunk anyway. And who was it? Benjamin Franklin said, if you're willing to relinquish one of your rights, then you didn't deserve it in the first place.
No, that's not quite what he said, but you get the idea. Sense of it.
You get the idea. So in any event, that's why law-abiding citizens don't want more scrutiny over guns, because it would have absolutely no impact whatsoever. Nobody who ever committed a mass shooting would have been screened out of a background check, except this last one. I guess
he was screened out, and he still got a gun.
Right, and so he went. It was not even a loophole. He went to a perfectly legal method, and that is to buy one from someone else. So,
but again, if you do that in Pennsylvania, you still have to have that transfer over. And I believe when they transfer over, they check. Now, I might be wrong on that.
No, there's no transfer. If you sell me a shotgun, it's mine to keep. It's yours to know
no,
to
I'm
keep
about
the
money. Well, a handgun, or if we don't have that for assault rifles, we should. Assault style weapon.
Well, you do have to you do have universal background checks for handguns. At least you do for the sale of handguns. I think a hand-me-down might be okay in the U.S., but or in Pennsylvania. But handguns are regulated to a greater extent in Pennsylvania.
But even a relative, if they hand it down knowingly that their relative they're handing it to has mental health issues.
Well, I'm sure that's illegal.
Really?
Well, I would think so. To give a handgun knowingly to an individual you know couldn't pass a background check, I think that's...
But who's to monitor that if there's not a law in place that says you have to put it through a certain amount of scrutiny?
I'm simply explaining all sides of this argument. I think universal background checks are a fabulous idea. We should have had them decades ago. There'd be a lot of people who'd be alive today if it weren't for that. So, all right. Thank you so much, Eric. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
Really
call again.
Appreciate
okay.
it. Bye-bye now. We do have three emails that relate to our current firearms discussion, so we'll look at those momentarily. Let's squeeze in news headlines. Heaster Valley Road in Snyder County still closed. Closed since about 4 o'clock this morning when a tractor-trailer overturned there. No spill, no injuries, but Heaster Valley Road still closed between Route 104 and Mill Race Road. PennDOT says they are making changes to their detours in Northumberland, trying to make sure that they respond to complaints and observations from residents and motorists. Mindy Forsman was at the Borough Council meeting last night and said they've done what they can to accommodate neighbors who had super ideas to shore up the detours.
We've made a bunch of changes out there. We recognized we had issues right away, and we did make changes. We've changed the parking. We put no parking on one side, but we've allowed parking on the opposite side. So there's only no parking in the direction of the detour. We've changed messages on the message boards and added message boards to try to keep people going where they're supposed to be going.
You can't block Second Street or put a local traffic only, that kind of thing?
We can. I'm not sure people are going to follow it. I mean, there are big signs that say 147 and 11 go straight.
Well, yeah, and she said to me, putting up more signs won't help because you have people not heeding the signs anyway, so more signs wouldn't assist. Mindy Forsman in Northumberland. Also in Northumberland, school buses from the Northumberland schools were allowed to go south over the Priestley Bridge yesterday. That went satisfactorily with a 2 to 3 minute delay for northbounders who were halted on the bridge for that time. The students were from the C.W. Rice Middle School and the Priestley Elementary School, according to the superintendent, Jason Bendel, who was there monitoring the traffic flow. You can see a picture of his white shirt at the flagging area. He was the only person there in a necktie. All that went satisfactorily, and they'll continue to do that in the weeks ahead. They do say there is some hope that there could be some change in the weeks ahead that may assist motorists. And I know Joe's very closely following this young man's career, so he will be happy to know that Okay. Justin Bieber is opening up about the string of bad decisions that led him to go from being a beloved teen performer to the most ridiculed, judged, and hated person in the world.
Oh, brother.
I know, isn't this something?
Talk about self-aggrandizement. Right. I'm the most hated person in the world.
All right. Hitler is he's forget him. Lower than Hitler and Stalin and all the rest of them.
Yeah, everybody I know says, oh, Stalin, Hitler, Justin Bieber, he's the worst.
He's at the bottom of the list. In a very personal and introspective Instagram post, the pop star examines how childhood fame led to depression, lack of responsibility, and doing pretty heavy drugs and becoming disrespectful to women.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. He's found Jesus.
Well, I don't know. We're getting there. At age 18, he had millions in the bank, but no skills in the real world. Now 25, Bieber credited the support of friends, his love of Jesus, and his marriage with turning his life around. He wrote, it's taken me years to bounce back from all these terrible decisions, fix broken relationships, and change relationship habits. And he says he's doing better now. Actually, he just sounds like a teenager who became 25 and is starting to grow up. Do not all teens have a similar tale?
No, I don't think all teens have a similar tale, you know, but I'm always amazed at the number of people who, and whether it's real or whether it's just put on, you know, who have religion for their conversion. You know, maybe they do, but, you know, it's like the person who committed 35 murders in prison, he found the Lord, and now he wants forgiveness. And I think that's wonderful.
You don't get that.
I think God will certainly forgive him if he's truly repentant. But on the other hand, he still has to pay for his crimes.
Well, you have never let religion get in the way of your daily activities, so
we'll beg your pardon.
We've never let religion get in the way of your bad decisions. That much we know.
Well, I don't blame my bad decisions on religion.
Nor your lack of them on religion. The fact that you don't do many bad things, you don't blame that on religion either.
No, I don't think that God wants responsibility for me every day of my life, but I certainly accept the fact that he guides it.
Oh, we got an email from God saying, I am micromanaging Joe's life, and it's a full-time job. All right, we do have some emails. We got a caller waiting. Joe, you can sift through the emails at your leisure. Which do you wish?
Well, you know, Jim was on the line yesterday at the close of the program, and we had to put him off, so maybe we ought to take him first.
Jim, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Mark and Joan. I hope you both have a good day today. Did you know I watched a documentary... on Lewis and Clark, and they took air rifles with them when they were going west.
What kind of rifles?
Their rifles.
Oh, their rifles.
And air, I thought he said.
I have had a gun permit from when the Sheriff Lauer was in the sheriff of Northumberland County, and I think Geyser's cell 45 and 50 caliber air rifles.
Oh, air rifles, okay.
And I guess I'll hang up, and I like your program, and I hope you gentlemen have a good day.
Are you saying Lewis and Clark had air rifles?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not aware of...
And you can look that up on the internet, and they did take air rifles with them when they were going west.
Air rifles.
I didn't think the technology existed then. I may be wrong.
It was on the NRA that comes on Wednesday nights a lot of times that the NRA has a program on Channel 24, Service Electric.
Okay.
And that's where I've seen it. And they did take air rifles with them, sir.
Okay. How'd they? Oh, never mind. We'll worry about that another day. All right. Thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate that.
Oh, yes. They used the Girandoli air rifle.
Oh, wow.
It has a range of 125 to 150 yards, and some extended that range considerably. The Lewis and Clark expedition used the rifle in demonstrations that they performed for nearly every Native American tribe they encountered on their expedition.
What did they do, pump it up?
There's a picture of it here. It looks like it has some little ball in the bottom of it that you might squeeze to build up the air pressure.
Sure.
Huh? Well, you live and learn. Thank you, Jim. Right. You taught me something new today.
Hard to believe. Joe knows almost everything. Let's see. One of our listeners sends us a note. Upper right-hand corner, take them clockwise.
Upper right-hand corner says, Joe, hollow point bullets are less likely to penetrate through a subject into an innocent victim. They are most likely to stop a threat. And that's what our caller said when he was chastising me. EB says, I'm always amazed by the short-sightedness of gun nuts. All some of us want right now is for a few common-sense gun control measures to be enacted. But the gun wackos keep trying to prevent that. They don't even want to have the conversation. One of these years, we're just going to go ahead and really take away all the guns, and then they'll wish they had worked with us now. Well, I don't want to be around when somebody tries that, to be honest with you.
That should encourage them to listen carefully.
And Bob says, good morning. To one of your callers, not only is Trump a baboon's butt, but he's also a lawless, liar, stupid, and racist. Trump didn't need to keep the gun laws that were enforced. Trump is part of the reason. When these laws were in effect, mass shootings went down. But that ignores the fact, Bob, that years ago there were just as many guns around, but there weren't these mass shootings. I think
there weren't as many.
Was it Eric who brought up one of the other callers who brought up the fact that, you know, we've had guns around for a long time, but something has changed in the past few years. I can remember that Texas Tower murder that mm-hmm. he talked about. You know, that was horrible. You remember that? You weren't alive. Well, you were alive,
yes,
very, very young.
Vaguely, I remember, but not.
That was the first one I recall, too. But prior to that, you know, the main mass murders were Native Americans slaughtering settlers and settlers slaughtering Native Americans.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Well, there certainly are more mass shootings now. That much we know. But I think.
But why? What's changed?
Well, a couple of things. One, firearms are more readily available. There was no Walmart to sell them, and there wasn't a gun store on every corner. So everybody can, and many people do have guns today. There was no such thing as a 100-round magazine 100 years ago. You know, they probably were invented, but not widely known. It used to be that these semi-automatic sort of military-looking rifles were very obscure. They were not widely sold, but now a lot of people want them. Part of the reason a lot of people want them now is because the potentiality exists that they'll be banned, and so you better get it now. If you ever do want one at all, you might as well get one now. A lot of the guns are very specialized, too, the semi-automatic rifles. So they're thousands of dollars for nice ones. You can buy a basic one for $500-$700, but nicer ones and more accurate ones with more bells and whistles and things cost more. So anyway, why were there more mass shootings now? But I think there's a contagion effect. I think the power of suggestion exists, too, that some people get the idea of a mass shooting because they heard about another one. And so I think there's definitely, as somebody suggested, they hope it comes in waves and that this is a wave that subsides. But, it's not going to go away anything.
I don't mean to be an apologist for television. But, you know, some of the movies I've gone to see with my son, one I saw on TV, I forget the name of it now, but it involved literally hundreds of deaths at the hands of this one martial arts expert. I mean, he just ripped through people like there was no
killing
tomorrow.
Them.
Yeah, killing them, you know. And so do these things at all devalue human life in the minds of some people? Do they desensitize you from the horror of taking a human life?
Well, that could be, but it could also do just the opposite. It could have a mitigating effect for individuals who wish, for some reason, to see someone die. We've heard that about video games. You know, always hear video games may be responsible for people having less value, but there may also be, it's not a mitigating effect, I can't think of the word now, but it could have an effect that satisfies that interest in seeing somebody die so that the person would never try to do it on their own in real life because they're able to do it.
Viewing pornography would keep you from actually wanting to rape someone. Isn't that the analogy you're making?
I don't know about that, but I think watching ultraviolence may, with firearms and in the form of a video game, may have a mitigating effect on someone wishing to do it in person. And these are
so
studies.
So I think
people
what you're saying is they live vicariously through
yes,
the violent
that's
act.
It.
That's the word you're searching
yes,
for?
Yes, that's it. And I'm not making that up. I'm just saying somebody studied it, and that's what they came up with. And we talked about this on the air a number of months ago.
No, I must have a short-term memory problem. I don't recall it.
I think you do. What was your name again?
Earl.
We'll be right back. one 800 795 is the open line. We got a caller standing by. We got an email that relates to background checks.
It says, good morning. On the surface, universal background checks seem sensible. What happens when the fee rises to $50, $100, $200 or more? Be careful of what seems like common sense laws. The average law-abiding person would be the one penalized. And that's signed by Jeff.
Well, I think that's a sound fear for every law, every fine, every fee, every board,
every
government.
Sure, they tend to go up.
Right. That's the nature of them. So I'm not saying that that's, you know, the listener is wrong. I'm just saying that government has the ability to raise beyond reasonableness all fees all the time. Look what they've done to school taxes. And that's, you know,
well, a fee should reflect the actual cost of providing the service, in my opinion. Government shouldn't be making a profit on it. They should actually reflect the cost of the service.
Okay, so a $200 background or gun check would be unreasonable.
Well, depending on what it actually costs to do the research and do the background check, maybe that's a very reasonable cost for it. Maybe at $50, we're subsidizing them. You know, but I think government should have to explain what the costs are to you when you take it. What components are involved in this cost?
I think it's 10, 25 bucks, something like that. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. Lovely day, isn't it, though? But, you know, didn't the poll tax, when they struck that down, they said that you could not tax or charge a fee to exercise a constitutional right? Yet they do it with guns all the time. You have to pay for a carry permit, and there's tax on ammunition and a tax on the guns, and, you know.
Well, it's just a normal sales tax. It's not an excise tax.
Oh, yeah, before you get the gun. Oh, yeah, Pittman-Robertson Act. You got it. It's supposed to go for new hunting plans and target ranges and all that, but, you know, government, it doesn't. But what I like to say here is, before your poo-pooed crack in time, guns were really easy to get. You didn't have to do all the crap you do now. You didn't have to go to a store. You didn't have to fill out any form except for the postal money order. And you could buy a really nice M1 carbine with a 30-round magazine. They're a very handy little rifle. For about $79 for a brand new one from the government, and anywhere from, depending on where you were buying it, 3 to 6 cents a round for the ammunition. Like I said, they took a 30-round magazine. When we were kids, you taped two of them together, and then you had what they called a jungle clip. You know, you could just zip it around and, you know, have your 30 rounds. But somehow, it didn't get into trouble, did they? Was nothing like that. Even though they were available, all you do was fill out the form. They came to your door, you know. Well, mostly REA Express shipped a lot of guns.
So you're saying we do not live in the past?
Well, that's exactly right. And a lot, okay. Remember what we had back then? We had mental institutions that were full, right?
Okay, yep.
Now, and most of those folks are out in the street, where they shouldn't be, that's for sure, for their own safety and the safety of everybody else. But it really was a crack in time. That first mass shooter you're talking about, with the weapon used there, was probably the most popular bolt-action hunting rifle in our country. And that was a Remington 700 in 6mm Remington caliber. Now that is equivalent to what you say a 243 today. So that isn't exactly a powerful, crazy round at all. But he was really a super marksman, that's for sure. He engaged targets up to 600 yards with that.
Okay. So, okay.
All right.
I mean, it's just something to throw out.
All right. Something
else, too, like I always
do. Very briefly.
Okay. If we could stop the number of people that drink and drive by 3%, we'd save the amount of innocent lives that would have died in mass shootings. I mean, that's the truth.
All right, noted. Thank you so much.
So one group of lives is more worth saving than another?
Well, I think his point would be they're all worth saving.
Well, then you need to control both guns and alcohol. You can't make the argument that one's better than the other. If we controlled alcohol, we'd save more lives than if we controlled guns. That's like saying, all right, well, we'll let the people kill with guns, but we're going to stop them from killing with alcohol.
All right, we'll require universal background checks, and we'll
for
see
a drink
if,
at a bar.
We'll see if prohibition works out. Dave, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I'm going to have to add some to Lance's thing, and I take exception to your
fallacy there that guns are more readily available now than they used to be. Because, yes, you could pick up your Sears catalog, your Christmas Wish catalog, and plus the big book and your Montgomery Ward's catalog. Go to your local Agway or Montgomery Ward and pick up any kind of firearm you'd like to get, along with most of your local gas. A lot of your local gas stations sold firearms and ammunition. And most every hardware store sold firearms and ammunition.
Yep.
I mean, when I was a kid growing up in Muncie, perhaps three or four of us or more would pull our money on a Saturday and run up to J.K. Acres gas station and buy 22 boxes as we could, take our rifles down to the dump next to the river and shoot rats and bottles and cans and so forth. But the difference then versus now is you were taught respect and responsibilities back then, along with the mental illness stuff that Lance was talking about, but a lot of it was the responsibilities and repercussions for your actions.
Well, you're right. Personal responsibility does have to enter into this conversation, but at what point?
Well, by the same token, you know, you can put all kinds of restrictions on firearms, okay? Just, you know, think of something. We put all kinds of restrictions on opiates.
Right.
We seriously control it with government regulations. You can only doctors can prescribe them. Pharmacists can only give them if you have a prescription, if you're authorized. But we have an opioid epidemic. So therefore, laws, rules, and regulations do not work to solve a problem.
Well, laws and rules and regulations can solve a problem. The existing laws and rules and regulation aren't having any impact on the opioid crisis, but it takes personal behavior medical cooperation.
But your opioid crisis, all it's doing is creating an issue for people that have genuine pain that can't get the proper pain medicine now because of the opioid crisis.
Well,
look at England. England pretty much has guns banned. Now they're banning knives because they have a knife problem. There's more people killed in London with knives than there are total murder. There are more people murdered in London primarily with knives than what are killed in New York City. And so England is doing a knife ban now. They've already banned guns, so now they're going to ban knives. They're trying to ban knives. So what do we ban next? Rocks, baseball bats, hammers? I mean, you know, it wasn't too long ago there was that fellow that killed his wife down there, somebody stealing spare whatever, with a hammer. So, you know, somebody that has evil on their mind is going to do evil, no matter what their weapon of choice.
Yeah, there was a lady in the news in Harrisburg this morning, ran over another woman with a car, deliberately. So, do we ban cars?
And there was one up here at Williamsport that missed the guy and hit an apartment building. She was trying to run over him with a car. When are we going to ban cars, you know? Are they fully automatic or standard? You know, you can't regulate someone's mental intentions.
Yeah.
All right, noted. Thank you so much.
So the next question is, would a driverless car develop a murderous intent and run over people indiscriminately?
If you study those, those driverless cars are geared and programmed to protect the occupants of the car. So if it would get into the situation where they'd have to swerve, but that would be more dangerous for the occupants than to run over someone, say a bicyclist, motorcyclist, whatever, it will run over the bicyclist, motorcyclist rather than hurt the passenger of the car. It's the way the computer system in them is programmed if you really study up on it.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and that brings up a heck of a point. You know, how can they make that decision? How can a computer make that decision? A human being might find some way to accomplish both goals.
Well, we've already had a real car that had a murderous intent. You remember Stephen King's Christine?
Christine, yes.
Right. So there's a car that kills people. A murderous intent.
Yeah, but that was just fiction. But you know, in actuality, with the way these
you ruined Mark's day. He believed every word of that.
I thought it was historical documentation. So, all right, Paul, Dave, Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah,
really
appreciate
it. A lot of good points.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. It's all food for thought. Paul, stand by. Two emails pending. One caller waiting. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@kok.com. You are listening to a program that's brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. What do you need in your transportation needs? Well, how about a Ford car, truck, small car, big car, hybrid, SUV, and a pickup truck, you name it. They got different sizes of all of those. Some of them are in hybrid. They got a few electric vehicles, and believe it or don't, they're right on the cutting edge, too, when it comes to autonomous vehicles, which we just talked to, although their version do not have any evil intent. Hyundai, of course, family-owned vehicles, larger SUVs, small sporty cars. Kia, just the most respected car maker in the world right now. The Kia Telluride is making shockwaves throughout the automobile world with this fabulous vehicle. And the Lincoln cars and trucks, Joe's Lincoln Navigator SUV is there. I bought him a hybrid version so that he can save a little gas, even though he doesn't want to. And he is a one happy motorist. But this is the kind of idea that it doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you need or you want it to do or what it must do. They'll take care of it. And then someday, somewhere down the line, if it busts, they can fix it. They can do all the routine maintenance at the quick lane or in the truck shop. They'll take good care of you. That's what they do. They've been doing it for more than a century. They got a master towing service, body shop, alignment shop, car wash, quick lane. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They'll get you squared away at the Sunbury Motor Company. Please do as I've done many times. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Two emails, two callers. We'll go to Joe first. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, Mark and Joe. Good to hear you this morning.
Good to be heard. Yeah,
well,
Joe's age.
I don't have a lot of time here. I'm going from one meeting to the next, but I heard your discussion. And, you know, I got to thinking, one thing we don't ever hear about in the news are the number of folks that are actually, the lives that are saved by responsible gun owners who have their weapons for the reason of protection. Someone breaks into their house or is, you know, at a situation. We never get to hear those numbers. And it's unfortunate because I have a feeling that if we actually heard those numbers, they would more than offset the tragedies that we hear about every day.
That's an interesting supposition.
Well, I think that would definitely be true. I mean, half the society is safe today because firearms are there. Look at how police are protecting whole cities full of people and firearms.
No, he's talking about active intervention, I think. Aren't you, Joe?
Well, yeah, people that have a pistol or a handgun or a long gun for protection to protect their family. And when someone does intervene and do something that's evil, they intervene with their protection piece and stop something from happening. And we don't often get to hear the positive results of gun ownership. And, you know, take Snyder County, for example. You would have to be a little bit, I mean, we're talking about mental health. You would have to be a little bit crazy to break into a house in Snyder County if you knew the facts. The facts are about one out of every two adults in Snyder County has a right to, has a carry pistol, pistol permit for their carry permit. And that's a high percentage. You know, 20% of the entire population of Snyder County has a concealed carry pistol permit.
It'd be foolish to break into a occupied structure in Snyder County night.
I was at a flea market over the weekend, and I saw a sign that said, if you want to meet God, enter these premises without permission, and it had bullet holes in the sign.
Well, and, you know, I mean, that's, you know, for those of us that care about our families and want to protect them and take that protection into our own hands, that's a very important right that we have in this country that we don't want to see impeded upon.
Joe, are there any common sense changes in gun laws which might make us safer?
Well, another commissioner and I were having a discussion yesterday. A lot of people don't understand what already takes place when you go to purchase a weapon. Unless you've been through it, like myself many times, it's a fairly rigorous process. It's not something you just go and get a gun. You have to do a background check. Every single gun purchase that you make in any store has a background check, whether it's a long gun or a handgun. So we've already got laws in place, and the problem is not necessarily the laws that we have in place today. it's the people that aren't abiding by the laws. Joe, you and I, we've all talked about it. You're never going to stop completely people who have evil intentions, who don't want to follow the law, from breaking the law.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
So no changes in gun laws necessary to make us safer?
When we make changes to the gun laws that are currently in place, the only people that we harm are the people that are law-abiding citizens and take away a little bit more of their protection than their ability to protect their family.
All right, well said. Holy smokes, that's the whole show in a nutshell. Thank you so much, Joe. Off to your next meeting.
Yeah, take care, Joe.
Come and visit us again sometime in the studio.
See you next Friday, if not before.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Paul, thank you for being patient. We wanted to get Mr. Joe on before he got to his next meeting. You got the floor.
Okay, you guys are talking about weapons that are used in order to kill, but you're missing the whole point. What gives man the what is it that makes man want to kill? Because what was it that made Cain kill Abel? Did they outlaw stones?
Well,
because, no, if you was to sit down and analyze what causes man to kill, you would find out that it is either jealousy or it is something that is, God said that he was a jealous God, that he wouldn't have any other gods before him. So he told David to go into the mountain and kill all the Philistines, the man, the women, the children, the whole works. So we don't understand what is in the minds of evil. And when we hear about it, but we don't try to analyze what caused it.
But that's not true. The FBI has a behavioral analysis unit that's entirely devoted to trying to determine what makes criminals criminals, what makes someone who kills kill, and try to find ways to identify them before they become an actual threat. You know, well, given that capability, I'm surprised it isn't more implemented more often in defense of keeping people safe from people who would take their lives with high-powered guns.
Well, Joe, how do you fight something you cannot see?
Well, that's like asking how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. You know, you can see it. There are people who leave telltale signs of what they might do or what they might become, and it's up to us to pick them up. That's the whole point behind see something, say something. You think you see somebody that's doing something suspicious or unusual, you report it.
But it doesn't cause at the spur of the moment. Some people don't do anything unless it is on the spur of the moment. So how can you see something that isn't there?
You cannot read people's minds. I'm the only person who can do that, and I'm not able to help.
I went to a lady with a crystal ball once who said she could.
Well, the other person is the shadow. And he knows.
Oh, he knows. Yeah, excellent point. But that's fiction. All right, thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate the call.
Get a Ouija board.
Another Paul on the line.
Another Paul. This one's from Sunbury.
Paul Squared. Yes. Go ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Yes, good morning. I was listening, and you seemed to be sort of surprised that Lewis and Clark had air rifles. And I just wanted to let you know here, recently my wife and I took our grandson, one of our grandsons, one of 13 grandchildren, over to the Joseph Priestley House for history camp. And a fellow named John Moore did a presentation. I forget the gentleman's name who he was portraying, but he was a protege of Joseph Priestley. And he had said during his presentation that Joseph Priestley also had an air rifle that they frequently played with, not so much played with, but used for target shooting and whatever. So, again, I don't know where that falls in line with when Lewis and Clark were using their air rifle, but I just wanted to let you know that Joseph Priestley also had one of those that he had made improvements on and actually used.
If John says that, it's got to be true because he knows history.
Right.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he did an excellent presentation, but I was surprised that gee, Joseph Priestley had an air rifle.
Hard to believe.
I wonder if his mother had a cylinder on it. They pumped it up to get the pressure. Obviously, the more you pump, the higher the pressure, the farther the bullet would go.
I wonder if his mother said to him, Joseph, you're going to shoot your eye out.
That I don't know. Mrs. Priestley may have said that.
I think she was in England. His mother was in England.
I just wanted to fill you in on that. Air rifles go back much longer than apparently any of us thought.
Well, further than I thought, for sure.
Yeah, how about it? All right, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that, Paul. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back where we have open phones right now, but four emails pending. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Are there any common sense? No, skip it. Talking about guns.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got a half a dozen emails, but no callers, so speedy dialers now. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com, as a number of individuals have done.
And Dan says, I'd like to discuss two points. One, for those saying research on the causes of gun violence need to be conducted, the Dickey Amendment prohibits this from occurring. A starting point would be to reverse this amendment so the CDC can research the topic. You familiar with the Dickey Amendment?
Sad to say, I'm not. Never heard it.
I've heard that there's a restriction that the NRA or somebody tried to get them to stop researching gun violence, but I may be wrong on that. Number two, a caller mentioned the opioid epidemic. The gun debate shares similar causative factors with the opioid crisis, an overabundance of guns or opioids. We had more opioid prescriptions per capita than anywhere else in the world. Similarly, we have more guns per capita than any other nation in the world. And that's signed by Dan. And then the availability of a high-powered firearm escalates the potential for violence tenfold. Look back on any of the recent mass killings and ask yourself if the capacity of the gun had a role in the number of people killed. When the young man in Newton, Connecticut, woke up in the morning and decided to murder children at his elementary school, he didn't worry about background checks. He took his mother's gun from a safe, killed her, and proceeded to blast his way into the school with the perfect weapon for the task. Then he killed dozens of children and teachers in a matter of minutes. So tell me this type of gun played no role in this tragedy. Dave on the Hill says, Kay saw a guy wearing a T-shirt last weekend printed on the back with the message, I survived the Norrie construction. Don't know where he got it, but imagine it's a big seller. That wasn't about gun control. Bob says, good morning. I don't hear anyone talk about education on this subject. Education might help. More TV ads about this problem might help. We have to do something because Moscow Mitch won't pass a bill from the House unless Trump will sign it. He needs to get voted out along with Trump. Signed, Bob. And finally, I think they should do background checks when you apply or renew your driver's license. Everyone has been checked, simple and done.
Oh, I think that would be quite on the illegal side, but that's just me.
Why would that be illegal?
What, to do criminal background checks on everybody that buys a license?
A driver's license?
Right. I think you'd be limiting your rights if you went through such a thing.
But driving isn't a right, it's a privilege, accorded to you by the state. And privileges come with restrictions.
All right, so you want
it's not in the Constitution. The right to drive an automobile shall not be impinged upon.
All right, Lance, time for your minute of fame. Go.
Okay. Why, that amendment you're talking about that said no research, what it said was you couldn't use public funds to lobby for more gun laws. That's what it said. Wasn't the research itself. But, Joe, if I come across as minimizing anybody's deaths, I apologize, because I don't mean to do that. But any death is terrible, okay? And it's just that I showed how we are accepting so many more deaths than what we are with the mass shooting.
Well, what drunk drivers tend to do it one at a time, so
yeah,
it's less noticeable.
Right, that's what I mean, when it's taken out one at a time. And they are 30 times more deadly.
The last mass murder with a drink was Jim Jones at Guyana.
I understand that, but what's the matter if you take you out one at a time or 10 at a time? And well, they do it 10 at a time every day.
I think because 10 at a time is news, one at a time it's harder to pin down. It may be
right.
A news story in the local area that Bob Smith was killed by a drunk driver, but it's not national news. Yet 10 or 20 people being killed by someone with a gun is national news.
All right. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
But the end result is the same. Also, would you like a half-used calendar of the thruway?
A half-used calendar of the thruway?
Yes, he would. He likes everything.
It's in September. Yeah, a friend of mine had one and I have one I have for later collector purposes.
All right. Yes is the answer. We'll take anything.
And Mark?
Yes, sir.
If I would give you a DVD of one planned, would you watch it?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
A DVD
right.
Of what?
And Unplanned, the movie.
The show about Planned Parenthood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. And also, what hours are there human beings in the office? There?
9 to 5.
Oh, 9 to 5 or 5
Simple.
Days a week.
We're here today. What do you think we are? We're human beings.
Well, yeah, but we're not. You're leaving very shortly.
Okay, I didn't know what time you went home.
Oh, well, I don't hang around much after the program. I see enough of Mark during the 90 minutes that we're on the air, and I'm sure he feels the same way about
sufficient.
Me. Right?
That's more than enough, actually.
It's worth about the air rifles, Napoleon decreed that any Austrian caught with one would be unceremoniously eliminated, period.
With an air rifle?
Yeah, he was caught with
What was it, 1780, that Italian fellow started air rifles?
Right, 17.
Yeah, okay, so.
Thank you, Lance.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, that's it for today.
Well, we learned some about air rifles, and we've got a good discussion going. Tomorrow, we will talk about solutions. We got some other topics. One of our emailers says President Trump is making millions off himself by staying at his own property.
And the governor of California says the Republican Party is finished.
That's it.
What does Newsom know?
This is WKOK Sunbury.